This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 76, Playing Games at IBM.
Welcome to another episode of GamesAtWork.biz. I am your co-host, Phaedra Boinodiris, and I'm joined here by Michael Rowe and Michael Martin. Hi, guys.
Hey, Phaedra.
Hello, Phaedra. We're here yet again.
Absolutely. And we now have crystal blue skies, and the temperature is warming, and the roads are de-icing.
Yay. Yes, we have been experiencing the blizzard of the century here in lovely North Carolina. I'm looking outside and my snowman is shrinking, so that's a good sign. It means I can actually drive outside.
Maybe not the century, but at least of the week.
Okay, of the week. Blizzard of the week.
Blizzard of the week.
I exaggerate.
But speaking of that, I mean, that's actually a good thing because that gave plenty of people plenty of time to stay indoors and play games at work.
Yes. Speaking of which, good segue into our first topic.
I aim to please.
So we at IBM, I do work for IBM, launched our very first corporate-wide alternate reality game for internal purposes this week.
Cool.
I'm proud to say. And it reached out to all of our IBMers. I think we're close to 450,000, 500,000 IBMers were our target audience across geographies worldwide. And the purpose of this alternate reality game was, in essence, to introduce IBMers to our next generation of social business tools. So we decided to leverage an alternate reality game as the platform, as the storytelling means to do so. And in essence, as you're uncovering the story, as you're trying to solve this particular mystery, you're using social business tools as a means to find clues.
Very, very cool. And I think we've all got to Well, we didn't all get to play it because some of us were actually developing it, but I know I got to play it this week some, and it was loads of fun. Loads of fun.
We learned a lot, certainly. The tactics of putting this together, you know, the political minefields, but also just having game masters around the world role-playing as per our generous co-host Michael Martin, who did this in Budapest. You want to talk a little bit about that experience, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, having a limited acting background, not nearly as good as our co-host Michael Rowe with his extensive acting background.
You like me. You really like me.
I do.
I won't
insert
sing a
reference
song
here
right now for Hail Poetry, but we'll let that go. So anyway, last Friday, so about this time, well, not quite about this time, a few hours ago this time, last Friday, I was holding a meeting, a town hall kind of meeting, to introduce a fictitious character to the people in Budapest here. And that fictitious character, because she's fictitious, didn't show up.
How dare she not show up?
I know, you know,
she doesn't exist.
We were trying to will her into existence, and it just wasn't happening. Well, I mean, I think we did will her into existence, really. But
tell them about the premise of the story. I mean, why did she not show up?
Well, so the premise of the story that was constructed by Phaedra, and along with some help from her co-hosts and an army of others, volunteer and otherwise, was that we had a particular IBM researcher who had gone missing. So the point was, hey, let's find her, and we need to track the clues of what cities she had gone to around the world on her world tour. So Budapest was one of the cities on her world tour, and to lend a little bit of additional realism to these augmented reality games, I had agreed to hold a session to introduce her to the team here in Budapest and to have her talk about her topic. So we had everybody in the room. Everything was set to go. And I had one of my colleagues do a little bit of a video of me from an iPad. And at the appointed hour, she still wasn't there. I asked one of my colleagues to try to call her on her cell phone again, and she didn't answer. Gosh, again, imagine that. My cell phone rang, and I answered it, and it was my colleague who was pretending to call her, but he called me instead. And I said, oh, it's the car company from the airport, and they haven't seen her. They don't know where she is. I was like, oh, this is not good.
Oscar-worthy performance. Wonderful video. I wish we could share it, but I don't think
we can. It was so fun. I mean, it was so realistic. You were like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Please, try to get her on the phone. It was so funny. We were rolling.
Screw it. We're doing it live. But no, you didn't say that.
No, but the show had to go on in the end. So I created some charts that she would have presented, and then I kind of took the team through some of the topics that she would have been talking about, as well as alternate reality games and artificial intelligence and stuff like that, that I didn't want my team members, who had all gotten very excited over the week leading up to it, to say, Michael tricked us, and now
he
lied
blood.
To us through song.
Oh, it was very funny. But speaking of the storyline, this was actually the we've had so many versions of a story presented to our investors.
Yes.
We really wanted to do a villain, as you know. We wanted to do something dark, someone who wanted to take over the planet.
I mean, something
James
real.
Bond. Yeah. And so that was our first one. It got axed. The second one was
time travel.
We wanted our artificial intelligence to become sentient because a meteor passes really close to planet Earth. But that got axed. I was like, just trying to find something that wasn't too dark, but yet still engaging. I mean,
I like the time travel one, and that one got axed too. That was really cool.
It did. We were trying to find something that would be cool and have enough backstory, but still wouldn't lose people in its complexity. So the storyline, I mean, was just, we had to get something that, you know, our executives liked.
It had to work.
Yes. Simple enough that could work, but.
Well, and the other cool thing was, I mean, this was a 3-day event across all of the company, really bringing in, you know, I don't know what the numbers are. We probably don't want to talk about the numbers, but I mean, thousands of people playing together to try to solve this clue for this person that they didn't know, right? All they knew was there was some excitement going on within the company from a game perspective, and this was important. And the community comes together and tries to figure it out. That was awesome.
It was awesome. It was fun to watch people collaborate online and come up with theories. I mean, to my next lesson learned is never, ever underestimate the voracious appetite of your players, because they will dig and dig. And you might think, okay, you know, I'm putting in this extra content as a backstory. No one's going to really dig into this. Wrong. I mean, people.
Did you not learn the lesson of Lost? Love the backstory. That's the exciting part. I like the whole cipher that was going on. People trying to decode like a Roman cipher.
That wasn't
there.
So this fictional character, just so you know what he's talking about, this fictional character leaves a last post that says, oh my gosh, is that blood on my hand, right? Because apparently she bumped her head or something happens where she got injured. And then, you know, as I'm writing this, I thought, okay, if she's really got a head injury, she's having trouble typing. So I sort of, you know, do this random scattering like of keys where it's like she sort of collapsed onto the keyboard. And I post it, and people, I mean, they dug into these random keys that had been pressed like it was a cipher, and they were trying to like decode it and run it through different algorithms. Oh my gosh. Did you feel bad? We should have put something at the end.
I know
of that.
There should have been like a link to like a wiki page or something.
I know, something to give them. It was pretty funny.
Did you like the guys that had actually looked at the underlying HTML code on the page to do some deciphering that way?
Oh, I didn't see that part. That is awesome. Oh.
Yeah, no, they're like, you know, we're looking at the code and we're going to figure out what's going on here. And
So years ago, I had a guy working for me and his favorite quote was, you know, we're engineers, therefore we like to solve problems. So there must have been a lot of engineers playing. They will figure out that there's a problem even when there's not one and dig deep on it.
But in the meantime, we had to limit game. Like we really wanted people to get something out of this in 15 minutes. We didn't want to force people to do hours and hours of hunting and pecking, but they ended up doing hours and hours of hunting around. It was funny. It was an anthropological research study. this whole game was very interesting to watch people and how they work together. There were some people were very devious. I mean, they went on. They were posting clues without our guidance. They were just wanting to cause trouble. It was pretty
But the great thing about this, that is so much the reality of trying to solve certain problems in business, right? I mean, not every piece of data you get is valid and current and accurate. Not every thing that you chase down is a valid path to go down. So I think this is awesome.
Well, it was. And when you think about, again, the objective, so Phaedra said this really nicely at the beginning of the show. The objective was to get people experienced with and using the social business tools. Well, this was an engaging way to do just that. I mean, it spanned a whole range of tools, everything from wikis and blog posts and forum entries and microblogs. It was really, really a clever way of getting people to try out this way to collaborate with one another instead of saying, okay, now we're going to have a class, folks, to talk to you about wikis.
Exactly. And one other lesson learned for us was something, Michael, that you are directly responsible for. And that was, seriously, that typically big training or engagement pushes don't hit a lot of the geos, which we ended up getting within this game. And that is, I think, directly because we had an engaged game master there. We had someone role-playing. We had someone in there scripting part of the story as part of that region. And I think that made all the difference within the world. You know, it wasn't just something coming off from one corporate entity, but we had people within the geos actually plugging into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, shucks.
Well, the other, I love the fact that you were able to get it really global, right? I mean, the video posts of the post, not the video posts, but the pictures of the posters being posted at various sites around the globe, so that people felt like, hey, there is something real here, right? They could bridge from just, you know, an interesting online experience into a real world experience. And Michael, as you did, I mean, it was great to see that and see the number of people who showed up to hear about what was going on and engaged in the discussion.
They did. And, you know, the people were reaching out to me personally through email and through, you know, microblogs and stuff like that, too, along the way, instant messaging. You know, I was saying, are you trying to mislead us here with this? I was like, you know, and sometimes it was like, no, I'm not. You know,
the other interesting side effect,
look at the facts.
This is another great thing. And the other interesting side effect of this whole event is the internal connection site that we have. I've got a lot more people who are following me now, who are engaging, that have connected up, and that's the point.
That's right.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that once the dust settles and we look at this, there'll be so many examples of how this 3-day exercise exceeded every expectation that Phaedra, that you had in the beginning when you said, hey, you know, I've got this idea and we should do it. And you know, we're all like, yay, go for it, Phaedra. This is going to be awesome.
Well, I was happy to offer yet another example of gamification within a corporation that has nothing to do with badges. It has nothing to do even with points or with leaderboards or, you know, trivia quizzes. I mean, I just wanted people to see, you know, and of course, alternate reality. I didn't come up with the alternate reality games. Have been around for a long time, and many, many, many other corporations and organizations have leveraged it. But this was for many, 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 the very first time they'd even heard about it, much less experienced it. So I think I'm hoping this opens the aperture, you know, when people are thinking about engaging others, that there's so many other aspects of what makes games fun that they can use, you know, aside from points and scores.
Well, it was voluntary, right? So no one was said, okay, and now we play the game.
we will all play.
You will have fun. You will have much fun to play the game. No, we didn't do that, right? So people were playing because they felt like it. They were intrigued. They had something that was gnawing at them, and they're like, okay, you know, it's late at night for me, but I've got one more thing I want to chase down. And, you know, to me, that was what made it so exciting, was the energy and the enthusiasm of the people who were playing and really kind of getting into it and collaborating with others and saying, hey, this is what I found. Does this line up with what you found? No, look over here. Here's what somebody else said. It was a joy to watch.
Absolutely. Great job, Phaedra. Lots of fun.
Hopefully we get a chance to do it again. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. All right. Well, I think for a show for this week, this is probably about where we ought to wrap for now. Yep. I know there's like about six other topics we'd like to hit, but we are out of time.
Unbelievable. it's just like an ARG. You just want that one more move, that one more rat hole to go down, etc. But sometimes you got to end the day.
Isn't there a QR code at the bottom of that?
Look at the HTML of this page.
Well, I believe the shift cipher said that you're actually supposed to go down to this IP address.
Shift cipher. We have traveled in time to bring you this message.
So thanks, loop this everybody. Show back to the front.
And if you want to loop these shows, go back to episode one. And we've got, this is episode, 56 or 57? 76 or 77? You have a whole bunch of shows you can listen to over at gamesatwork.biz.
Yep. Yes, and thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.